I'm Dee Mae Roberts, stage and studio. You're listening to music from Sydney Stevens CD, Seasons. Find her music at cdbaby.com. Today we talk with three authors, Laurie L. Lake, Louisa Kelly, and Sandra DeHellen, who are featured in the upcoming event, Literary Lesbian Love, a somewhat romantic book fair. We'll hear about their work and their literary event on February 11th in Portland. And in the latter part of the show, actor James Dixon joins us. Yes, he's back from New York City to perform The Dutchman by Amiri Baraka, and Defunct Theater's production runs February 10th through March 18th. It's paired with Susan Glaspell's early feminist play Trifles as part of a double bill titled On the Edge. With me in the studio are three authors, Laurie L. Lake, Louisa Kelly, and Sandra DeHellen. Hey, welcome all to Stage and Studio. You're all featured in the upcoming event this Saturday, Literary Lesbian Love. I should have done my tongue twisters before this. A somewhat romantic book fair, and it's this Saturday at Tabor Space in Portland. So I just want to sort of go around and just, you know, tell us sort of your genres that you'll be reading in, you know, because you've all written so many books. So who wants to start?
I will.
Okay.
We're mostly just going to read things that are romantic. Some selections that are just romantic for Valentine's Day. And I think all of us write a little bit different stuff, but we're all, I think, genre writers. We all like to write romance and a mystery and drama. And actually, Sandra is probably the most accomplished because she's a playwright and a poet and an essayist, and you name it, she'll write it.
That's right.
Well, I think you're all pretty accomplished, or you wouldn't be offering this literary fair. So how many authors are coming? Who wants to speak? Louisa?
Seven total.
Seven authors, and some of them from all, you know, Sandra just was a Portlander, but now she's in San Diego, but from all over the country?
Well, one from out of state, Jesse Chandler, and then the rest of us are from Portland, I believe. Yes.
Jove Bell. Linda Vogt. Janine Hoffman, and who is the seventh person?
Jesse Chandler.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You already said her. Perfect.
Okay, well, that's quite a lot in 90 minutes.
It is.
Yeah.
We're not going to read anything that's really long.
Okay. So this is a nice way to get a lot of variety of lesbian authors, and also to, you know, offer these books that maybe people haven't heard as much about.
Right, and we're also offering chocolate.
Oh, well, there you go.
And lots of chocolate, lots of different kinds of chocolate, and it'll be decorated, and it's going to be a fun event. We expect a good crowd. We hope a lot of people will come out.
Well, Tabor Space, that coffee house, is really nice. It's set in the coffee house area?
We're actually in the Muir Hall.
Oh, that's nice.
Main floor.
Yeah,
so it's a little more enclosed, and we can close the door and just whoop it up.
Oh, I love Tabor Space. It's such an inviting place, isn't it?
Everybody gets confused, though, because they drive by and, where is this place? And it's
right
in the church.
55th and Belmont.
But we just disregard the fact that it's the church.
It's the church.
Yeah, you have to go right in the main doors.
Well, I'd like to mention that the space is handicap accessible. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know that, but it is accessible, so everybody can come.
Good to know. I mean, I think it is. Yeah, definitely. It's an easy space for a lot of people. So what made you all want to create this event? Who's the one who created this? Louisa?
That was Lisa.
Well, actually, it was my big idea. I was part of a mainstream romance group read event at a wine bar in Vancouver this past August. And I was the only gay woman reading. But it was quite successful. And I got very excited about the idea of banding together with my, you know, lesbian author friends and doing our own event and making it sort of fun and sort of an event and something people would want to come to and support and really get the word out about all these fabulous, you know, women authors that people probably have never heard of us.
Well, and this is one way to find out, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So you're listening to Stage and Studio talking about, you know, people who haven't heard of you, now they have. I'm Dee Mae Roberts. My guests are Sandra DeHellen. And just say your name. Yeah, just say hello.
Sandra DeHellen.
No, not your name, but just say hello. And Louisa Kelly, just so that people know who's talking.
Hello.
And Laurie L. Lake.
Hi.
Yeah. Well, there are three authors who will be featured in this Saturday's Literary Lesbian Love, a somewhat romantic book affair. And, you know, you've all been writing books for many years now. You're all accomplished writers. How receptive do you, this is like opening up a big can here, but how receptive would you say that the mainstream book market is for lesbian writers? Now, I like to open up big cans.
That's a really big can.
Hopefully it's not a worm can.
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say 0.5.
Yeah. I kind of figured that, but I thought I'd let you weigh in on that. Why do you think that is?
Sales. If we were writing Harry Potter, we would move a lot of units. But our population of readers is a little small. And so we've had to do a lot of things marketing-wise using social media and print on demand. You know, trying to not have warehouses full of books or anything like that. The ebook movement has really helped a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. Yeah, it has. It's opened it up and made it a lot more independent. I'm just wondering, a lot of people read books that are not necessarily in their specific community.
Correct.
As an Asian American writer, I know that.
Right.
So why is it that, that wouldn't be the same for, lesbian books?
Well, I hope that's...
I don't even say lesbian books. I mean, books by lesbian writers that might feature lesbian characters, right?
Yeah, I think it's changing because I think there's less stigma, more acceptance,
mm-hmm.
especially since the same-sex marriage ruling. I find a lot of my readers come from Sherlock Holmes fans.
Right. Tell us about that book or those books.
It's a series.
Because you've got another one coming out, too,
I'm excited
about.
I have a female Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Mary Watson, and Mary narrates the books. The two of them work together to solve the mysteries.
But her name is Shirley Combs, right?
That's
and
right.
Dr. Watson.
Shirley Combs.
But say it fast.
Shirley Combs, say it fast. That's right.
But I always found that fun, and I was excited when I read your latest book, Till Darkness Comes, which you're doing a reading Friday night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it Thursday night?
No, it's Friday night.
Friday night at another Reed bookstore. But at the end of it, you have a little teaser
mm-hmm.
of the new Dr. Coombs book, or no,
yeah.
Shirley
Coombs.
Shirley Coombs, Dr. Watson book.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Yeah, the Valley of Fear, I just finished writing chapter 4. So
you just finished one book, you just started
16
another.
16
to. I'm in admiration, that's all I have to say. Louisa, would you talk about your fantasy paranormal books? Because I found that kind of interesting. I love fantasy and paranormal
I
stuff.
Know, me too.
Yeah.
I grew up a huge fan of fantasy and urban fantasy and science fiction. And then when the genre paranormal romance, which people, I think the lesbian community isn't as familiar with that.
That's the genre?
The genre. There's a genre in romance called paranormal.
Wow.
And that's with the core as romance and the story involving magic, vampires, shapeshifters,
let there
werewolves,
be dragons.
And dragons, of course, which I've been obsessed with since I was ever knew about them when I was really young. And I started writing first in mainstream romance. I wrote a trilogy about a world of dragons and shapeshifters. And my heroines all lived in Portland. So they're very Portland-centric stories. And then when I finally got the contract with my publisher for a female-oriented romance, I went for it because I'm convinced partly that we would sell more books as lesbian authors if people were exposed to them. And the romance category of paranormal is so immense. I just felt like I could find a readership there.
And did you?
Some. I'm making
you've
some
got a
headway.
Lot of books out there on I see on Amazon,
mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, definitely making some headway. And I'm using the same world I already built in my previous trilogy. So there's a lot to like, I think.
Wow. Interesting. Cool. Interesting. And inspiring, too. So let's talk about, Lori, your books, because you have both, this Eight Dates, which is more
a romance.
Romance, but it's also humor, too.
Yes.
And then you got this Gun series, right? Gun Shy? Is that right?
Gun Shy Under the Gun. Yeah,
that sounds really serious action-oriented. What is that?
It's somewhat action-oriented. Yeah. The first couple of books are really dealing with the main characters, Des Riley and Jay Lynn Savage. And the two of them are they're navigating a relationship. So basically, it's not till the third book that you get a thriller, and then the fourth book that's a pretty much straight up mystery thriller. And I'm working on the fifth book now, which is also kind of a mystery and I'm bringing in characters from my other series, the Public Eye series, and I've got two books in that. And so Leo, the character there, she's assisting in this new fifth book. So I'm, you know, crossing everything up. And then in the meantime, I'm also doing, I love to do anthologies. I've really enjoyed them a lot.
You like to continue this story.
Yeah, and I would like to pull other people together. And so, for instance, what I'm working on getting published real shortly is called Time's Rainbow, Writing Ourselves Back into American History. And Christopher Hawthorne Moss and I met him at a conference. We decided to do this collection where we take periods in history and put characters in there fictionally. So, for instance, my story talks about Bayard Rustin and the civil rights movement and how Bayard has kind of been left behind. Nobody really knows who he was, and he was the architect of the 1963 March on Washington. But because he was gay, he got kind of cut to the back of the bus, you know? So I write a story where he's in it. He's the secondary character, and my character has an interaction with him. And everybody's done stuff like this. It's like there's witches in Salem, and there's people during when Gone with the Wind came out, and there's cowboys, and just all kinds
mixing
of different
it up.
Stuff. Yeah, throughout time.
Yeah, and you've got this new book here, or is this a new book?
You
brought one, Snow Moon Rising.
That's an older one, and it's about World War II.
Oh,
and a lot about the plight of a gypsy woman and what happens to her. And it's the most serious book that I've gotten written.
Yeah, it looks like it from the details from Portland to Germany during World War II. Wow.
And that is literary fiction.
Yeah,
right? Not really a genre.
Yeah, it kind of is literary fiction, I guess.
It's a beautiful book. I recommend
it. Wonderful.
That book
there. Thank you for bringing it in. So I also just wanted to do a shout out for your book, your new book, All That Remains, too, because, Sandra, that's a little bit of a departure for you. Because it was grittier, you know, and...
You mean Till Darkness
Comes. Oh, Till Darkness Comes. I'm sorry. That was the poetry book. That isn't a departure. But the Till Darkness Comes, it just seemed like that was more of a psychological thriller. And it's a lot grittier than
your other
works.
The serial killer does revenge killings.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
And we don't want to give too much away, but,
no,
you know.
The Shirley books are set in Portland, but the Till Darkness Comes is set in Kansas City, Missouri.
Is this like Dexter in high heels?
It is very much like Dexter.
Oh, sweet.
In comfort
I think
shoes.
You even referenced Dexter in
I
the,
do
the
reference,
first part, too.
Yes, yeah. one of my readers said that she didn't like that I referenced other TV shows, like Breaking Bad and CSI. I shouldn't, or not. Whichever one it was, but I should only mention Dexter. But I didn't rewrite the book for that.
So. Well, I'm fine with it. I haven't ever watched Dexter, but most people know what it is.
Yeah.
You know, what the show was. So, you know, let's talk about, is there, you know, this was created a lot with a group that you all have, right? Can
mm-hmm.
you want to tell us, I don't know, Lori or Louisa, what the group is?
Lori and I kind of helped launch this group, a couple years ago? Two, 3 years ago?
I think it's going on closer to four,
yeah.
Something like that. I had moved here in 2009 from the Midwest, and I didn't really have as many connections here. So I started this Portland Lesbian Writers Guild. And then when I set it up on Yahoo groups for us to talk, I just took the first letters, POLEWG, and so were the Pollywogs. And it's a group of people who, you know, I was having them come to my house, and we just all kind of sit around and talk about writing and encourage each other and read from our works. And so this is the first event that we're doing, and we figure we'll do a lot.
Is the lesbian community, as far as the writing community, is that growing then? Is this part of that?
Well, we would sure like to see it
grow.
I mean, this is our efforts to help that community get a voice, become known, get the word out. I mean, that seems like an important thing to be doing together.
Mm-hmm. And this event is probably part of that, too. Mm-hmm, you probably do a lot of networking there.
Linda Vogt, who she's just been around the community for a long time, and she produces Motherload. So Linda, she wrote us an email yesterday saying, oh, my God, I don't think the room's going to be big enough. I think we're going to have 70 or 80 people. And I said, chill, baby. It's going to be okay. It's you know, it would be great if we had 70 people. We can fit everybody in. We'd love it if that happened.
Well, I think that's pretty exciting. I'm going to give the event information. Once again, it's Literary Lesbian Love, somewhat Romantic Book Fair this Saturday at Tabor Space in Portland, located at 5441 Southeast Belmont Street in Portland. It starts at 7 p.m. and goes to 8:30 p.m.-ish, I'm sure, with a lot of readings and books for sale. And I have links to the event as well as to all of our guests here and their websites at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. And there's a Facebook page for it, too, if you just type in Literary Lesbian Love or just go to the Stage and Studio page. You'll get a link to it. In the time remaining, you want to talk about your upcoming projects? I know, you, Sandra, you talked about your next book, but how about Louisa or Lori? You want to talk about your upcoming projects?
Well, I've been working on another story. I can't seem to quite let go of dragons. So it's still, but it's a completely different kind of story. And again, it's still set in Portland. And it's very much a work in progress, but I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Wait a minute. You are going to go back and write a sequel to Unbidden Dragon, aren't you? It begs for a sequel. The story's not done.
I like how you encourage and support each other to keep writing.
Thanks for that, Lori. I'll think about that.
Think about that.
It begs for a sequel.
That's awesome. And so, Sandra, your event is at Friday night at 7 o'clock, is that right?
Yes,
at another Read bookstore?
Another Read through at 3932 North Mississippi.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have all that info.
Yeah, I did I launched the book originally in June, and there was a glitch with publication. So I took that as
a sign,
an opportunity.
And a return
to
visit.
To rewrite the book and add an antagonist, actually. I'm way much more happy with the book now. But also, hopefully on Friday, Till Darkness Comes will be released as an audiobook as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do you all do audiobooks as well?
I haven't yet.
I haven't ever.
Yeah.
Sounds exciting,
agreeing.
Though.
Well, so, I just want to have one last question. Maybe one or two. I wonder what advice you would give to emerging writers who want to write about, who want to write books that have lesbian characters in them, especially, would you encourage them? What advice do you give them?
Take classes from Lori Lake.
I do retreats and classes. So.
Okay. All right.
Learn your craft. Study, learn your craft, and connect.
With other writers.
It's the most important thing, I think. Well, you can learn so much from each other.
I agree with that, and I would think that what would be really good is to find people who write similar kinds of genres or in ways that you do. And like you just said, Louisa, connect with them. People write me periodically, and they'll just say, hey, I'm a new writer, and I'm trying to do this and that. And like, I got tons of resources to send them. I got like 1,000 articles that they say, I need help with point of view, or I need help with, characterization, whatever. And ask people for help and throw yourself out there. And if you live in Portland, get a hold of me and, think about joining the Polywogs.
Well, it's nice that you feel like you can mentor other people too. I don't find that's true with a lot of writing communities or a lot of, other types of artistic communities. Sometimes there is and sometimes there isn't.
But I labored for 14, 15 years with really not any mentors at all. And so I look back at that and then finally after 15 years, I get a publishing contract and it just seems like it's a long slog if you don't have somebody in the trenches with you.
Right. And you want to bring up the next generation too, right?
Yes. And read.
And read the genre that you want to write.
Exactly.
Really become familiar with it.
Okay. Well, all great advice. And you can check out these authors as well as, I guess, four others. Is that right? Four others who are coming from all over the country for the Literary Lesbian Love event, a somewhat romantic book fair, this Saturday at, I'm sure it's going to be very romantic, this Saturday at Tabor Space in Portland, located at 5441 Southeast Belmont in Portland, and it starts at 7 p.m. And you can find links to it at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Laurie L. Lake, Louisa Kelly, and Sandra DeHellen, thank you for joining me today, and, have a great time at your event.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, up next, I'll talk with actor James Dixon, who has returned to Portland to perform in Defunct Theater's production of Amiri Baraka's classic short play, Dutchman. After this short break, with more music by Sydney Stevens from her CD Seasons. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Sydney's a friend of mine.
I love her music. I love her music. I'd love to give her a shout.
I'm Dee Mae Roberts. With me via phone, I can hear you, James Dixon. Are you there?
I'm here.
I can hear you. James Dixon, actor and sometimes host of Stage and Studio. How does Portland look to you after being in New York City? I know you've been back for about a month or so, but how did it look when you first came back here? What was it like?
You know, I was really relieved to be home. I really enjoyed being in New York, but everything just moved at warp speed in New York. And it was just really great to just be in a place where I knew a lot of people, and it's easy to get in touch with people, and there's lots of creative work happening. There's plenty of work happening in New York as well, but you know, there's like thousands and thousands and thousands of actors and millions of people, and I'm happy to be home. So,
well, that's so good to hear. That's so good. I mean, you came specifically back though to work. You know, this was a good sign. You auditioned before you left Portland, and you got the role, right? So
right.
You came back specifically to work on Defunct Theater's production of Amiri Baraka's one-act play, Dutchman. It's paired with Susan Glaspell's early feminist play, Trifles, as part of a double bill titled On the Edge at Defunct. But you came back specifically to work on this.
Well, partially. That was my original plan, but I actually decided to move back. So I was like, you know, this isn't working. Let's just come home. I was getting offers here, and
it's a good sign.
So I was like, oh, you know, all signs point to go back home. And I ran out of money. You know, New York is outrageously expensive.
Yeah.
I'm really happy to be working on this piece.
Well, you know, you sound so refreshed and, you know, enthusiastic about this production. Well, when was the first time you first saw or read The Dutch, or I want to say The, but it's Dutchman. Did you know much about Amiri Baraka? I guess when you were growing up, you know?
Had no idea. Yeah. Never heard of him before, which is embarrassing because I'm a poet as well. But Amiri Baraka is a poet. And Sarah Armitage, who's the director for the show, asked me about this, and she was looking to cast me for it. And so I read the play, and I took a deep breath, and then decided that, you know, this is what I wanted to do. You know, I said, this is important work to be doing. It's a really interesting, well-written play.
Well, it's a hard-hitting, allegorical play that Baraka wrote during the 60s. It was very controversial. It's about racial divide, stereotypes, segregation, and a heck of a lot more. Sure that, you know, most people haven't either heard about it. There was a movie made, I think, in the 60s afterwards, or maybe the 70s. No, it was the late 60s. But I'm sure most people haven't heard about it, or if they haven't seen it in a long time. Would you let us know just briefly? You know, you play the main character. Just tell us a little bit about him and, you know, what he goes through.
Well, my character's name is Clay, and Clay is a well-educated black man. He dresses really nice, and this is a time where, you know, I brought up during the rehearsal process something that my mother told me when I was younger. She said, if you want what they want, you do what they do. And I think about that all the time because, you know, he's well-dressed, he's well-spoken, well-educated, he's from a middle-class family, and for the time that this play was written for, that was considered trying to rise above everything else that was happening for African Americans at that time, trying to get an education, trying to make a better life for yourself. And he's riding a train, and he's headed to a party, and this beautiful woman gets on the train, and she becomes very interested in him, and that's where the rocky ride began.
Oh, it's a very long, rocky subway ride, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, he goes through a lot, and, you know, it really is symbolic of the times, of the 1960s, when, you know, there was so many divides. And to me, it plays out to a lot of what's happening now, too. It's suddenly become a lot more pertinent in many respects.
Right.
I don't know if you found that out in thinking about it and rehearsing it.
Right. We did. And, you know, we've had our table work discussions have been extensive. We've honestly been doing table work discussions up even through the tech process. I mean, we have these discussions every day because every single word, every single line of this play means something. And I think everyone involved in this work has something to add, something that's personal for them and something that they can resonate with. And to be honest with you, we've had some extremely intimate discussions with this play because there's a lot of misogyny. There's a lot of racism happening. The other character, she's a white woman, and there's a lot of I had a discussion about what it means, what it meant for the time for a lot of black men to be gravitating towards white women and for white women to have an interest in black men. I spoke a lot about Emmett Till and what that scenario looks like. And you have to think about all these uncomfortable topics in order to give the work the breadth that it deserves. So,
well, it certainly is timely still, unfortunately, but it is a good piece of poetic work, and he was a poet, Amiri Baraka. We're running out of time. I want to give a shout-out for Trifles. It's an early feminist drama about a woman who may have killed her husband, who might have been abusive to him. I don't want to give too many spoilers, but it was first performed in 1916, so it makes it important work. So Defunct Theater presents On the Edge, Trifles by Susan Glaspell, and Dutchman by Amiri Baraka, directed by Sarah Armitage. And the show runs February 10th through March 18th, Thursday through Sundays at 7:30 p.m. All shows are at the Backdoor Theater, located at 4321 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard. It's in the back of the Uncommon Grounds Coffee House. And it's pay what you can on Thursdays and Sundays, otherwise sliding scale on Fridays and Saturdays. For more info, visit defuncttheater.org or stageandstudio.org, kbu.fm/stageandstudio. I've got about 1 minute left. I want to thank you for joining me today, but are you gonna host Stage and Studio again?
I certainly will. I'll be on the air next month. This month, actually, yes.
Well, I just wanted to get it on the air.
You heard it.
You heard it, folks. You heard it. James is coming back to Stage and Studio, too. Well, that's it for Stage and Studio. Thank you so much, James. It's great talking with you and break legs. Okay.
Thanks for having me.
You take care. Thank you to engineer Tave Fache Drake. I'll have the show later online on stageandstudio.org, kbu.fm/stageandstudio, as well as podcast on iTunes. Like us on facebook.com/stage, the letter and studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts. More music from Sydney Stevens.